Okay, so we're up to Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk, the middle of the dreams, middle of the descriptions of the different types of false prophets. So we mentioned yesterday that there are three different types of false prophets. The false prophet that just has an ordinary dream, and he gets carried away and tells his constituents, tells his community, his listeners, that he's had a dream, he's had a prophecy, but in truth, it's nothing but an ordinary dream. Then the second category, which we have not yet discussed, is the one who actually makes up prophecy. He's a total liar. Hashem never spoke to him, he did not have dreams, he just makes believe that he had a nevuah. And the third category is where we have a prophet who spies. We have not yet come to that, and we'll come to that very, very soon, where a Navi goes and he spies on the real Nevi'im. A false Navi goes and spies on the real Nevi'im and hears their expression, their unique expressions that they receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and messages, and he uses that to gain legitimacy. He basically plagiarizes. He plagiarizes some of the prophecy that has been expressed to real prophets, and he uses that as a base, as a way to gain legitimacy in order to go and say over things to the tzibur which are false. So we're up to pasuk. That was the base of the summary we learned. We got into it yesterday. We're up to over here. Today we're up to, after we learned about the dream, can you just find the place? Pasuk Chavtes.
Why didn't necessarily even talk about false prophets?
It was very common in ancient times.
Why?
It was very common. I guess today, the fact that it's been preserved, why is it preserved? There's no question why it was necessary to talk about this in ancient times, because that's where the action was. That was the problem. Why was it necessary for it to be preserved for our generation? Because as I'll tell us, there were 1,200,000 prophets, and none of their prophecies were recorded except for those that were necessary for all future generations. So obviously, the 48 prophets that we have, that we record their words, it was necessary for us. So that obviously means that today there are leaders, there are people out there who are leaders that are giving over a false message. They are misleading people. You can talk about in a very general sense, reform, conservative, things like that. But even among people that are Shomer Torah Mitzvot, so you have someone who is a Rav, a leader, he has a very big achrayis to make sure that he's preaching, he's telling things, people that are on the mark. If he gives advice...
The building fell down because of Kedoshah.
What? All right, that we don't go there. Let's not go there. I know what you're referring to. Okay, so it's a very dangerous thing when you have people, rabbanim, leaders, who give over messages which are totally off mark, and that's probably what these psukim, to a very large group, coming to warn. They're speaking to the leaders: watch out! Don't abuse your power. Don't abuse your influence to promote your own personal agenda. Whether it's money, whether it's covering, whether it's to accomplish things that you want for your own children, your own family, when it's not what Hashem wants. And that is, we have very harsh criticism of all these false prophets. Obviously, these prophets, the reason why they're giving them false prophecy was because they had what to gain. They had to gain money, parnasa, they had to gain for their family, and all these type of things are not proper. Okay, let's see, Pasuk Chof Tes. Haloi choy, this is a very famous pasuk. Haloi choy s'divori ka'ish. So are my words like fire, nu'um Hashem. It is a very famous pasuk. Hashem says that the words of Hashem are like fire. Uchepatish, it is like a sledgehammer, yifoytzei tzola, which causes the rock to shatter into little teeny splinters. Okay, let's see the translation of this pasuk. This is a very complex and popular pasuk. Lamed. L'chein, therefore, chav tes in the mitzudos David, haloi choy divari, haloi hachaloi ma'asher hu divari. According to the simple interpretation of the mitzudos David, many times when we read this pasuk in the Gemara, we read this pasuk in Chazal, we get carried away, we lose focus of the context. We take this pasuk out of context and apply it simply for the text of the Daf Gemara. But in the context of this pasuk, we have to remember that we are discussing false prophets And according to the Mitzudos, so far we've only discussed the false prophet that has an ordinary dream, a dream just like any common man. And he says that the dream that I have had is a prophecy, because what people dream about are things that they cannot possibly come up with in their conscious state. Dreams are so creative. Things that people think about when they're sleeping are so original, so creative. It's you're able to fool people, and when your person presents these ideas, people can say, this can only be a prophecy, because no living person would ever think of saying such a thing. So when the prophets, they abuse, when these people claim that their ordinary dreams are prophecy, it is a problem. And here we're applying this pasuk to that context. Haloi ha-chaloi ha-shahu divari, ba b'choizik rav v'hargoshas yisera ke'esh, a real prophecy that comes to a prophet in a dream is like fire. It's like, it comes with strength, b'choizik rav, intensity, v'hargoshas yisera, and great emotion, ke'esh ha-bo'eretz, like a burning fire, u'chipatish, it's like a hammer, Hamifoitzeitz es hasela, which shatters a rock into smithereens. Shudover hamugush ma'od, your person has a great degree of sense. Kenu chalom hanuvui, that's the nature of a true dream of prophecy. Veloiken hachalom hadimyoni, and that's not true with regard to an ordinary dream. Ki hargoshosam kalom ma'od, the sensation a person feels when he has an ordinary dream is light, extremely lightweight. And therefore, the warning over here is to the prophets, don't fool yourselves. How dare you fool yourself into claiming that your ordinary dream are words of prophecy when you know good and well there is a world of a difference between a prophecy that comes in a dream and an ordinary dream. A prophecy that comes in a dream is intense, like fire and like a hammer that shatters a rock. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk chof. Tes haloch chol divarib koesh. So are my words. They're like fire. Lo hayelohem lahat litois ledamos halemus lema shohim nevuah. He's saying the same idea as the Mitzudos David. They should not. They are not permitted. They should know better to equate their dreams. Their dreams with prophecy. Kidal ki dvar nevuah kishabo b'fi hanavi bigvur hi volo. It comes with might. Ke'esh haboy eretz, like fire. Uche'inyin shenemar v'choye b'libi ke'esh boy eretz, like it says back in Perikov, Yirmiyah said that the nevuah that came to me was like a fire burning in my neshama. V'oimer v'yad Hashem olai chazaka. Another pasuk in Yecheskel, the same idea. Uche'patish patish is a pick b'las. What is that? A sledgehammer?
No,
what's a pick? What is a pick?
Like a pick and shovel.
What is that? It just gives to break the ice. The pick. Okay, fine. Just a piece of metal which you bang to break something. The Yeshiva, some say it's martil balas.
Yes, martel is a hammer.
A hammer. Okay. Let's see the radak. Yeah. It's either a hammer or he's saying it's a pick, which is similar in a certain sense to a hammer. Let us see pasuk of tes in the radak. Haloi choy divari, divrei hachaloimim ahem b'teilim. Kmo shetiru ki heim oimim shalom shalom ve'ein shalom. This pasuk we had before, like the words of ordinary dreams are nonsense. Just like we see that the prophets, they would tell people that there's nothing to worry about. There's going to be peace. There's going to be peace. And look what's happening. There's a siege and the churban is imminent. Aval divari, but my words, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, true prophecy, who ke'esh etetzei, which goes forth, v'tisoreif, es asher timsa, where it destroys whatever it finds. V'chein hu kifatish, it's also like a hammer, yifaytzei tzola, lo yamo davar lefonai, divrei levat lo. There's nothing that can stand before my words, to negate my words. Ki es asher dibarti eseh, whatever I have predicted will happen, v'lo yipol davar, and nothing will change. Now, I just want to point out, there's a machlokes over here, so we've been consistent in the parish of the Mitzudos and Radak and Rashi, that when it says, u'chipatish yifaytzei tzola, what is being shattered? What here is being shattered? They all seem to say the same thing, that the rock is being shattered. We have a rock, and we have a hammer, and we bang the hammer, and the hammer is stronger, metal is stronger than stone. Is that really true? Metal is stronger than stone, and it caused the stone to shatter into multiple
fragments,
splinters. It splinters into little teeny pieces. However, summary shining, it could be this Tosis, I don't remember where, says no. The Yefoytzeitz is going on the hammer. It's the spark. Sometimes you can have a stone, it depends what kind of stone, diamonds. I mean, you're dealing with certain types of stones, they're even stronger than certain type than metal. And when you bang a hammer upon a type of stone that is very, very strong, the stone does not break, but instead it causes the hammer to produce sparks. The hammer bursts forth, parts, teeny particles of the hammer break forth, and you see sparks flying on the stone. So the question over here is, what is the translation of these words? Uche patish, yifoytzeitz sola. Does it mean that the patish causes, yifoytzeitz, it causes the sola, the rock, to splinter and to shatter into fragments? Or does it mean, uche patish, yifoytzeitz sola, like a patish, yifoytzeitz, that is shattered. The patish is shattered through the contact with the sela, with coming in contact with the rock. Now, what will be the nafkamina? It's a very big nafkamina, this translation, when you want to take this and understand the nature of prophecy. We have to remember over here, we have to take this pasuk and put the pasuk in the context. It's not just stam. I'll quote you a few moments, a couple of Mamore Chazal. But we take the pasuk in the general, the context, we're dealing over here with a prophecy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to a prophet. And the mashal given over here is the prophecy. The prophecy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fire. That's number one. Okay, that is really no elaborate. Before I get to the deeper insight I want to bring out, is let's just look at that. The two interpretations, there's a very big difference. Is the second half of the pasuk a continuation of the idea expressed in the first half? Oh, shalom aleichem. Welcome back. It's been a long time. It's good to see you. Nice to see you. Okay, so there's a very big nafkamina between the interpretation of the second of the pasuk. Is the second of the pasuk a continuation of the perush of the first half of the pasuk, or is the second half of the pasuk an entirely new theme? According to the simple translation, which we have explained to be the pshat of Rashi, Radak, and the Mitzudos, the second half of the pasuk is an entirely new idea. There are two ideas being expressed. We have fire. We have here fire. And the fire, the words of prophecy are like fire, number one. Number two, prophecy is tough. It has consequences. When the prophecy lands, whatever it lands on, the object upon which it lands is shattered. Now, what does that mean? That means that the Navi is shattered? The Navi is a receptacle? Or it means that the words of prophecy will shatter the future events, because it represents what?
Maybe the break, the shatter the parts of stone.
It's going to shatter. What do you mean?
The people who are
tough like stone. The message of the prophecy will shatter the recipients of the prophecy. People who are going to hear the words of prophecy are going to be shattered. If they're not going to listen, or an event's going to happen, that's going to be an earth-shattering event. That has nothing to do with fire. The words of prophecy are hot. There is an intensity. There is a what he calls a hergish. There's a motion, heat. And number two, they're powerful. It's hot and powerful, and the result is earth-shattering. But if you learn like the second interpretation, uchipatish yifoytzeitz, the patish is going to splinter when it comes in contact with a rock. When the patish is yifoytzeitz, how is it yifoytzeitz? It's yifoytzeitz in sparks. Sparks are forms of fire. A spark is fire. When the rubbing, there is the when the metal rubs against the stone and it gets very, very hot for a moment, the friction causes a spark to come forth. So then there is a continuation of the theme. The words of Hashem are like fire. What kind of fire? It's not a fire that you see. When there is impact,
when the words have impact upon a person, upon the recipient, sparks fly. But the fire is not something which is apparent. This is a very popular idea from the Kuzari. The Kuzari, when he had the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, when he had his conversation with the Melech Kezar, so he asked him, what is it special about Eretz Yisrael? A lot of all the Yesodos of Yadus are found in the Kuzari. And he basically said this, that in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha is invisible. You can go to Eretz Yisrael, you can go to the Kosel, you can go to the Mekomos HaKadoshim, and you won't see anything. Zero. You can walk away and not be curious. It's only if you apply yourself, will you be able to bring out the Kedusha of the land. And that's really what it's saying over here, according to the second interpretation. The words of Hashem are fire. Really, go to Eretz Yisrael and look around. You see fire coming down. You go to the Kotel HaMaariv, you see fire coming down. You see tourists. You see people all over the world walking around taking pictures. What do you see? You don't see anything. But if you apply yourself, when the hammer makes contact with the stone and there's some friction, sparks fly. Fire comes forth. There has to be friction. The words, the second half of the pasuk is coming to modify the first half of the pasuk. The words of Hashem are fire. So in other words, nevuah, divine revelation is fire, but the fire is not going to be, you're not going to be able to see the fire unless you do something. Unless the fire, you take a tool, the sledgehammer, and you rub it against the stone, and you create friction, and you bring out the fire in the sparks. It's a much deeper interpretation when you learn the pshat like this. Now, a second idea in this second interpretation is that when you take a sledgehammer and you rub it against the rock, the sledgehammer produces many sparks. The fire is multiple sparks of fire. It's not one fire. There are many sparks, which means words of prophecy can be interpreted in many, many ways. Words of prophecy don't have ayin panim l'Torah. The same way a paskin chumash can be interpreted many ways, so too the words of prophecy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be interpreted many, many ways. So therefore we're saying that the words of Hashem are like fire, Neum Hashem, what kind of fire? Uchepatish. It's like a fire that's produced when you take a sledgehammer and you bang against a rock and multiple sparks come forth. It's one zetz. It's one bang. But there are many different dimensions in understanding the words of Hashem. When you read the pasuk on a simple level and you take the sledgehammer and you bang and the rock breaks, the rock is the result. It's not the actual. See, this pasuk would more appear that the patish is the prophecy. The sela is the ones who are the recipients of the prophecy, the ones who receive the prophecy. Which of the two is shattering into multiple sparks? It's shattering into multiple pieces. Is it the people that are receiving it? Is it from the receiving end? Or is it the actual patish, which here is symbolic of the actual words of prophecy? Which is the object which is breaking apart into multiple fragments? The very big nafkamina. If you learn that it's referring to the rock, so it means the words of prophecy are straightforward, they're tough, they're strong, and upon impact, there are going to be a lot of consequences. But the prophecy is just, it represents a concept of strength. But if you learn that the patish is what is being yifoytzeitz, it's telling you that the prophecy itself is not just plain and simple and ordinary and strong. The prophecy itself is subject to dissemination, to shattering, to being dispersed in multiple ways. There's a lot of depth, and that is something which we appreciate. When you learn the Levim, you see that one pasuk can be understood in so many different ways. Okay, then before we go to the next pasuk, I'm going to quote you some very, very famous Ma'amorei Chazal on this pasuk. Some even the Yonim of Halacha that we learn from this pasuk. The first inyan is, I'll read you the entire thing inside. It's a very famous Gemara Masechta Tainis on Daf Zayin. Haloi Choy Devarim Ko'esh. Omar Rabba Babar Chana Lama Nimshot Divrei Torah Ko'esh. Torah is compared to fire. Shenemar, how do we know it's compared to fire? This very pasuk. This very pasuk is not talking about Torah. This pasuk is a very big chiddush. This same pasuk seemingly is talking about prophecy. Yet the Gemara is taking this pasuk out of context. Haloi choy divari. So are my words. The Gemara is saying divari means words of Torah, the words of Hashem. Again, even though from the context of this pasuk, the pasuk is talking about words of prophecy that are coming to a Navi through a dream. What is the significance? What is the significance of Torah being compared to fire? To teach you many lessons. Number one, Mo Esh Ein Adoylek Yechidi. Fire does not burn when you have only one source of fuel. In other words, one piece. If you have one log, one piece of wood, it's not going to burn. You have to have splinters. You have to have twigs. You have to have multiple pieces of wood that come together. Each one enhances its fellow when they are ignited. After Divrei Torah, true success in Divrei Torah only comes when you have a group, or you have Talmid, you have many people debating, there's dialogue, and there is discussion. After Divrei Torah, Eidim Miskaimin, Ela B'mi Sholeh Mechidi. Torah cannot be successful by a person who learns alone. A person who learns Torah in isolation will never become a true Talmud Chacham. Torah will only be successful when a person learns Torah. You learn Torah as a group, and there is dialogue, there is discussion. Each one sharpens his fellow. Bechavusa, like wood, you have multiple twigs. Each twig enhances the combustion of its fellow twig. V'hainu dam Rabbi Yosef v'chanina ma'ad d'chsiv v'gmorko is another pasuk that's going to be later on in Yirmiyah. Cheref el habadim v'noyalu. A sword, it's a curse. A sword should come to people who study Torah in isolation. And worse than the curse, v'noy olu, there's a curse, they will one day become foolish in their studies. Cheref, the Gemara explains, a sword will come al soineim shal talmidei chacham. This is a euphemism to talmidei chachamim, she'oiskim bad bevad b'torah, who study Torah all alone in isolation. Lo yoyd illa shem mitapshin, they will become foolish. Shenemar, it says, v'noy olu. And the word vino'olu means foolishness. And v'loyoid elosh shechaitim, they'll come to sin. Ksiv hacha, it says vino'olu. It says by the meraglim, ksiv hasam, it says al no toshay salenu chatos asher no'alnu. I'm talking about the eagle. Asher no'alnu v'asher chatanu. The word no'alnu, we have become foolish by worshipping the eagle. And the word no'alnu is juxtaposed to the word chatanu. Period. V'yibay seima mehacha. Another pasuk, no'alu, sorry, so on. Okay, another pasuk, es mitzrayim. Okay, another pasuk, so telling of the person who learns alone, it is not a good thing to learn alone. Now, by the way, today there's a lot of Torah, if this applies, bizman hazeh, and many places, the Pele Yoyet says, does not apply today. Because today we have svarim. In ancient times, the only way you learn Torah is you learn that you just think. Fatracht. You sit down and you just think. So you can think all alone. You obviously you're going to come to make mistakes. Today when you have svarim, you can go to a library, you can go to a base medrash, you can sit alone. Adarabha, there's no concern. And Adarabha, many people are find that learning alone is to their advantage. And that's not for everyone. Now, it's not so simple because there's a very interesting idea from Rav Amram Goin. Someone wrote about Rav Amram Goin. Rav Amram Goin, he learned from svarim. He was one of the first people to actually write svarim. Okay, looks like I put a head over here. Oh, here it is. Amram, I'll read you what it says here. I'm reading over here from Yechiel Michel Stern's Sefer on the Midrashim from Sefer Yirmiyah. Very interesting. Amram Midibri HaRivash. Okay, the Rivash was a kadmain. He'iru shemufur shugam. Even when you have books, there is no permission to learn alone. He brings a raya. Rabbi Amram. Now, I'm not sure who this is. I thought it's not Rabbi Amram Goin. I'm not sure. I'm reading you over here what he says. Uve emes eneni toma im Rabbi Amram yoimar lepa'amim bilti midudakim kolat sarich.
the Rivash is referring to this person by the name of Rabbi Amram, who seems to have been a very great Gaon in his time. And he says, even though you'll discover in his writings things that don't make any sense, he makes major mistakes. Achra, you know why? You know why this Gaon Rav Amram made many mistakes? Sheinenu loy made mesechta kavua im talmidim maskilin. Because this fellow, he learns alone. He does not learn bechavusa. Rak shema ayin erev v'voiker v'sifrei hapsak v'hachiburim. He just sits the whole day and he fiddles around with oitzah hachochma. And he does searches. Kavo yishadorshu chazal cherev al habadim v'no'ole. Chazal say, some a sword should come upon the people that learn in isolation, and worse than that, they will become foolish. So from the words of the Rivash, he concludes here, this Rivash, Hare ludvodav gam kishaloymed im sifarim leloy chavrusa hu bichlal cherev el habadim.
So somebody should battle and not learn alone?
No, obviously, if you can only learn alone, you should learn alone. That goes without saying. If you only can go and listen to tapes, and go listen to lyrics, it means if you have a choice, if you have the option, if you have the option of learning bichavrusa, or being part of a group where there's give and take, there's nothing greater than that. When someone else challenges your ideas, and when you have the opportunity to challenge someone else's ideas, this is what brings out the amita shel Torah. Feresh pasuk, and it all comes rooted here in this pasuk that we learned today. Ko divari ko esh, the words of Torah fire. In mitzias, fire does not burn unless you have multiple twigs, multiple pieces of wood which combine together and they enhance one another. Therefore, Torah also only, the amita shel Torah, the truth of Torah only comes out when there is a chavrusa, when there is dialogue, there is debate. This brings forth, it's a reality. It's a reality like there is in science, in physics, with regard to fire. Okay,
when did there abortion?
I would imagine the 14th century. I'm not sure exactly. So we're dealing over here when some already were printed. There were manuscripts. It wasn't the printing press. The printing press was in what, 1300s?
Yeah, there were manuscripts.
No, it was already printing press. The printing press, a little later, you're right, but it were already manuscripts, right, think about it, right. But it was already manuscripts, no question about it. So he's saying over here, and I always remember hearing this, is that if Bisman has said this does not apply, but he seems to, over here, it's interesting, he quotes that not so fast to say it does not apply, there's still a kernel of truth in this, so we don't know to be true, even Bisman has said, when we have Sfarim, in a doime, when you have to present something, it has an entirely different. I remember once I went to the Sfarim store, and the Meicher Sfarim said to me, "This is a very good sefer. Why is it a good sefer? Because these are the sefer on Chumash. It's not just the person took out a sefer and he wrote it. He wrote down his chidushim. This comes from a practicing rabbi. Whatever it's written in the sefer." He actually once said publicly. So if it was good enough to say publicly in front of a tzibur where they challenge his ideas, so it's invented. So when you put it in writing, it must be good. Many svarim, no one, these ideas were not necessarily ever said publicly, and they were never challenged. So someone who went and he taught Torah Barab and his ideas were challenged, and there was discussion, there was a debate, then when it's put, then you know there's more truth in the words than just someone who's filling around and just puts in writing ideas that he has. It's not exactly the same. Okay, let's go now to the next. Now let's go to another idea. Another famous Chazal. This is Dvar Halacha. Dvar Halacha is Ein Divrei Torah Mekablim Tuma. Shenem Halacha Divrei Ko Ishnu Hashem Mo Ish Ein Mekabel Tuma Af Divrei Torah Ein Mekabel Tuma. There is no such thing in the Torah that fire is mekabel tuma. Fire is not subject to tuma. L'may nafkamina, there used to be a takonas Ezra. A person is not allowed to learn Torah. He's not allowed to daven. He's not allowed to wear tefillin until he goes to mikvah in an event when he is tamei mishum tumas keri.
And this takana that was originally established was debated, because based on this pasuk, well, I'll show you another read. You know, the chazal is that just because the person did not go to mikveh and he's tamei is not a reason why he should not be allowed to learn and recite Torah, because Torah is compared to fire, and fire is not makabel tumah. Torah is not subject to tumah, and there is no harm, there's no need to go to mikveh for learning and expressing Torah. In fact, it gives you an example. The example of here was, there was a maisa. There was a, just to bring it, let's put Amar Rab, this is a Gemara, also Masechta Tainis. No, this is a Gemara. Where is this? Here it is. This is Masechta Brachos. Tanya, where the Gemara talks about the sugya of learning Torah before going to mikvah. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser ha'oya oimer, ein divrei Torah mekablim tuma. Maisa b'talmud echa shoyim megamgem lemayla me'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser. He was not saying the words. He was megamgem. He was skipping words, skipping Hashem's name. Obviously, because he was tamei. Amalei bini. Pesach picha v'yoiru divarecha. Open up your mouth and let your words be illuminated. She'ein divrei Torah mekablim tuma. She'nemar, this very pasuk haloi ko divari ko eish tuma Hashem ma eish ein mekabel tuma. After divrei Torah ein mekablim tuma. Okay, there's another maimon chazal. Chazal say this idea haloi ko divari ko eish tuma Hashem ma eish zen nechlak lekamani tzaitzaitz. That's really was the idea that we expressed, is that here we can interpret the patish yifaytzeitz. The patish is what is being splintered, is being fragmented, is what is producing sparks, sela, when it makes contact with the rock. Torah, it the ayin panim l'torah. Every single word, ko divari, the words of Torah are like fire. What kind of fire? The second half of the pasuk is really modifying the first half of the pasuk. It's like fire that sparks the fire. Just like when the hammer makes contact with a rock, a very hard rock, sparks fly, multiple sparks fly from one single bang, one single act of friction. Likewise, one pasuk of Torah can be interpreted in many, many ways. Okay, there's another Chalam Chazal. Okay, this is a very interesting idea. This is a very profound idea. Psikta zutrasa. Koy haloi koy devarik ha'esh. Ma darko shal esh. Odom korev etzla nichve. If a person comes too close to fire, what happens? He gets burnt. If you go too far away from fire, do you derive any benefit, any warmth? No. If a person needs to keep warm, it's a cold winter day, if you go too far away from the fire, you're not going to gain anything. Adam karvetzta nichva. Rochak mimena, if you stay at a distance, tsoinein, you'll be cold. Ulechein, therefore, ein loyal adam ela lehischanein kineged ura, which basically means like Goldilocks. Not too hot, not too cold. You have to be right in the middle. Hainu ditnan, see, even Goldilocks is in Chazal. Everything is in Chazal. Hainu ditnan, what? Oh, that's exactly what he quotes in Avos. Exactly. How did you know I was going to say that? Perek Beis, Heve mischanem kineged uron shel chachamim. Warm yourself up near the heat, the fire of Talmidei Chachamim. Vehebat veheve zohir bigachalton. Watch out for their coal. Shleitichve, you should not get burnt. So what it's teaching you here, something very interesting, is that when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, the real Talmidei Chachamim, don't get too close, but don't get too far. You gotta be, it's very interesting, you would think normally we live in a world of extremes. We live in this generation of extremes. Everything we go to the extreme. That's the nature. That's really what the mitzvah of Hagbola is. When it came to Har Sinai, Hashem told Moshe, Higbalta es Sohar, go put up a fence. Why when Hashem had to remind Moshe twice? It's very bizarre. The whole Hagdama to Matan Torah is, put up a fence and warn the people twice, don't come too close to Har Sinai. And Moshe said, I told him already. You don't have to tell them twice. Hashem says, no, you need to remind them again. Why? It is the tendency of a human being, if something is good, to go very, very close. To go, but if you go too close, you're going to get burned out. What? If you go too close, it's no good? It's no good? Okay, you got to be the right, just right. What? I don't know. I don't know what it means. It's subject to interpretation. I guess every.
I think it means too familiar.
No, I think it could be or buddy, or maybe it means don't challenge them. They'll get angry at you. I don't know exactly. It has to be understood. I don't know. It's an idea, but to me this shook me up a little bit because. You don't really you know, you have, let's say, a very good Rebbe, Eliyahu and Elisha. So you under the impression Elisha cleaves to Eliyahu, Talmud and a Rebbe, Yoshua and Moshe, Yoshua lo yomush mitocha ohel. Right? The more the better. You have a Rebbe, the more the better. The answer is it's not necessarily so. You have to know how to keep your distance and for many reasons. There are many reasons why you have to keep...
There's a difference between a Rebbe and a Talmud and two Chaverim. He is your Rebbe, he's not your Chaver.
Okay, so exactly. Yeah, that's part of the keeping the distance. But on the other hand, once you have to keep your distance, there's a tendency to go to the extreme. There's too much of a distance. So everything, it's emotional, everything in life has to be in the proper balance. And this is also true, that's a Chiddush. It's also true with regards to the words of Torah and Talmidei Chacham. Don't accept upon yourself too many chumras. We all know that to be true. You want to be medakdek in a certain mitzvah. You know, you got to watch out. Who says every day you'll be able to be makabel, accept the chumras? The day is going to come where it's going to be overwhelming, and that can cause a person to chas v'shalom to abandon everything just to go to the other extreme. Everything in life has to have balance, including Torah, including Talmidei Chachamim, and that is what the Pasuk, the Medrash, is coming to remind us, that Torah is like fire. If you get too close to the fire, you get burnt. If you go too far away from the fire, you gain nothing. The challenge has to be just right, not too close, not too far away. This is a mashal, and Eish is the perfect mashal for the words of Torah.
Actually, there's a couple of instances where there was actually fire. Talmid Chachamim was speaking, and fire was shooting back and forth. By Avua. He saw Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua speaking.
That's very mystical.
Rabbi Yochanan was sitting by Rebbe. He saw Rav and Rebbe. Was speaking back and forth.
And there was
fire was shooting back.
Okay, but that's a very mystical idea. Okay, one last machshava, and this is very interesting, and that is if you see a Talmud Chacham who gets angry, if you witness a Talmud Chacham, let's say you see a Talmud Chacham get into have a temper tantrum. It's nothing personal. I mean, it is personal, but what it means, I don't know how to translate this. It's his Torah that is firing him up. The reason why he's heated, the reason why he's on fire, is not because it's his personal agenda, it's his personal nature to get angry. It's not necessarily so. It's not necessarily a human nature for a person to be angry. It's the information, it's the Torah, the sanctity of the Torah that is within him is what causes him to get angry. Shenemar, halechoy divari ko'esh num Hashem. So, I mean, what is the message? I don't really know exactly what the practical message from this is, but he's saying it's not necessary. When a Talmud Chacham gets angry, it's not necessarily going to work to give him some medicine. Medicine works for people who have a chemical imbalance in their brain, and they have a tendency to get very angry. They need some,
Part maybe it means that you walk into this medrash, you see people
learning, they're arguing with each other immediately. The, you know, like you think they're divorced.
They want to kill each other.
They walk out. They're buddies.
They're best friends. Because it's a different type of fire. It's a spiritual fire. It's don't take that as a sign that they're angry people. They're angry people. The fire, the anger that comes forth from a Talmud Chacham is not an anger that comes to a person when it comes to, if he, let's say he loses money, or let's say things don't go well for him in life. That's a different type of anger. The anger that comes from Torah is a spiritual type of anger, and there must be some type of application where techniques that are used to deal with anger management, it's a big thing, it's a big business today. Anger management for Talmidei Chachamim is not the same as anger management for the common man. Okay.
Could you say it has to do a little bit with kanoyos also?
That's what anger is, the kanoyos. The kanoyos. Yeah, but it has to, obviously, kanoyos is not a good thing, it has to be controlled. Okay, inachlam, right, so it's a different technique. Okay, let's go further, let's go now to the next pasik lamed. Lochein, therefore, hinani al hanadim nu'um Hashem. Hashem, now we're now really going to go into the new category of false prophets. Hashem says, I am aware and going to rise up against the Nadim, Nu'um Hashem, Miganve Divarai Ish Me'es Re'ehu. Very, very interesting. A type of false prophet that is a ganef. Plagiarism. Someone that goes and steals the words from another prophet. Let's give you this pasuk alone. Pasuk lamed in the midst of the stavid. Lochein ritzen eloimar hoil since v'yesh hefesh brath. Bein chalem nivui lechalem dimyoni. Uvizod liba yamitu chalem. And they are uvizodoin. And with, and bemazed. What?
Purposely.
Yamitu chalem. Now here Hashem is saying these people are going to suffer the same fate as the plagiarists. What does that mean? They would hide out. Rashi will elaborate upon this. They would hide out and spy upon the Nevi'i Emes and steal their language and steal their messages. Look what he says. And they would make believe that the words of Hashem came to them. The Amruan there would say, She'aleihem ne'emu, to them these words were said. These people, they're stealing from the Nevi'im Hamiti. So Hashem seen this pasuk, the way the Mitzudos presents it, is these people are the worst. They're the worst, these people. These are ganovim. A ganov is a ganov. Whether you steal money, whether you steal nevuah, you're a ganov. But the people who don't are not as bad, who don't steal, they just make believe that they claim that their dreams, their ordinary dreams, have the same status as words of prophecy. They're going to suffer the same fate. They're almost as bad, and they are deserving to suffer the same punishment as those prophets who actually steal from the true prophets.
They didn't say anything wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
They didn't really say anything.
But they're ganovim. They're ganovim.
But they didn't say anything wrong.
So a ganov is a ganov. A ganov is a ganov. Yeah.
But those who had the dream, they really thought they were ganovim.
No, they didn't. That's exactly what he's saying over and over, multiple times, is that they know they're fakers, and you know they're fakers, because halakha divari. If it was a real prophecy, it would be different. It would
why,
be.
In their mind, they thought they were ganovim. They was know, different to them.
No, but that's exactly what the Pesukim over here are emphasizing, is who you're fooling. You that's what you're saying. But who are you fooling?
They know they were frauds.
Yes, yes. And that's exactly what they're saying. That's exactly what the Pesukim are saying, is don't come and tell me you really think that this is prophecy. You know good and well it's not. It's just an ordinary dream. Yeah.
They heard.
They spied. They went around the corner.
They heard the Navi speaking to
Others. It wasn't like today where you go online, everyone knows from everyone else. Okay, let's see. Rashi indeed elaborates. Let's see Rashi. Meganze, those who steal Devarai, ki ish meir. So he gives an example. Ish meir, yesh lohem meraglim. There was a network, this organized crime.
Okay, you have a Navi, and the Navi would send out a messenger, a spy, Eitzel Nevi'ei Ho'emes, the real prophets, in another city. In those days, people didn't travel very much. So you live here in New York, you go, you send out a spy to California, and you go and you hear what's going on over there, and the spy comes back and tells you all the predictions of the real Navi, what's going to happen, and his expressions. But Shoyim, they hear, Signoin Shelohem. Signoin means their style of speech. Shehein misnabim bo, the oimrim nivias sheker bo oisoloshon. So this is subject to interpretation. The way the Rashi explains is you take their style, but instead of saying the message of the Navi MS, you change it to a false message. To a false message which is for your benefit.
They alter it,
exactly. But the reason why they're able to get away with it is because it's so unique. The signal, the style, is not something that you can come up with on your own. The signal can only be divine. People right away recognize this is something which has come from Shemayim. The only thing is, you fool them by altering the message, but you're still using the template, you're using the style.
Yeah, but the style is also indicative that it was stolen. Because Ain, Shnei Nevi'im, Mishnah, Mishnah, Mishnah.
So I guess it has to be a little bit different. Okay, you're right. All these things, we don't know what prophecy is, so it's very hard for us to really get a handle on this. He gives an example. Okay, the example is also not so. K'moy she'osa Hananya ben Ezor. We had Hananya ben Ezor before. We'll have him again later on. Hananya ben Ezor was the Skan Koyin Gadol. According to one opinion, he was Mamash the Koyin Gadol. Shoma es Yirmiyah misnami b'shuk ha'olim. He heard, he spied on Yirmiyah. What did he say? Hinei hinani shoyver es keshes elam. I'm going to break the conspiracy of Elam. Elam was a small state, a small country, and they themselves were subordinate to Bavel. But who Niva? So what did this person, Hananya ben Ezar? He used the same signoi, but he changed it. And who Niva? B'shuk ha'tachton, in the lower market, shavarti es ol melech Bavel. Now, what does that have to do? So, I don't know what this means. He basically, this expression of Bavel being destroyed is a derivative of the words of Yirmiyah. If the servant Elam was subordinate to Bavel. So if Yirmiyah says that Elam is going to be destroyed, he said that the only way it can possibly be is that their master is going to be destroyed. If Elam is not going to have any shlita on Klal Yisrael, I'm not even exactly sure the context of the pasuk, but we have to leave it for later on. We come to this later on. But somehow Yirmiyah was saying that Hananya ben Ezar was only able to express this thought of the keshes of Elam only from. The shavarti as ol melech bavel to fool the people and think that there's nothing to worry about. The Nebuchadnezzar is not going to attack, was only able to do this based upon the foundation of the prophecy of Yirmiyah. So he was a ganav.
We know that the Nevi and Sheker will always say nice things, good things, but Yirmiyah was saying bad things, so they couldn't have copied everything from Yirmiyah, only the expression, the style.
Okay, there's obviously there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. I do not know what it means. Maybe when we come to later on in Perek and Tess, we'll have much greater insight into what this means. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak summarizes over here a lot of these ideas. Let's see Radak in Pasuk Lama. What does this mean? I am going to destroy them. I am going to send forth my anger to destroy the false prophets. Every time it says hine in this section, it refers to punishment. Even though it doesn't say explicitly, I'm going to destroy them. It doesn't say that anywhere there's going to be punishment. But that's what the Targum injects into the pasuk, meaning I'm going to destroy them. V'yama. Now, it says here three times. If you take note, it says here there are going to be three psukim that say hinani. We have hinani in this pasuk. We have hinani, we don't do it yet, the next pasuk. Hinani alamdim lum Hashem halaychim. And then we're going to have a Lamed Beis, another Hinini. We're going to have a total of 3 Psukim. And therefore he's coming out to summarize the significance of the 3 Hininis. V'yamar shloisha pam Hinini ki shloisha chalakim hayu Nevi HaSheker b'yos hazman. There were 3 different categories of Nevi HaSheker. Hayu bohem Nevim shayu shayim divrei Nevi HaEmes. B'nevuos umos ha'olam. Now he says something a little bit more than what Rashi says. There were those who would spy on Nevi Emes, who were talking to the Umayis Ha'olam, not talking to Klal Yisrael. I guess that's why Klal Yisrael, they were able to be fooled, because they did not hear, the message was not directed to them. It was directed to the Umayis Ha'olam, and therefore these Nevi were spies. Moshe Snabe Yirmiyah El Umayis, like we find that Yirmiyah, he gave a prophecy to the nations of the world. Yirmiyah would travel to the nations and would speak only to the Umayis Ha'olam, and no one from Klal Yisrael was present. Koyamar Hashem le Amoin the Inyan Hanavua Kimosha Omar Yirmiyahu the Besa Litalmidov. Another example is where he would speak privately to his private students. It was not meant for the Hamoinam. Kideshayaminu Ha'om Lohenau. Then what would they do? Kideshayaminu Ha'om Lohem Ba'omram Lohem B'Shem Hashem Shalom Yelohem. So these false prophets would spy on Yirmiyah or on whoever the major prophets were, when they would speak to different audiences, either to the Umayis Ha'olam, or they would speak privately to their Talmidim. They would listen to their expression, to their signaling, to their style, to their message, and they would use bits and pieces from these words as a way to present themselves to Klal Yisrael. They would fool them, and of course they would change the message to the benefit of themselves.
No, I don't think they changed the message. I think they repeated
word for word to make it
legitimate. What happened to the Umayis Ha'olam?
Legitimacy to make believe. To make believe
that would be true, and then they would say, "But for you guys,
different.
It's fine."
Okay, that's a little bit different than what Rashi says. That's the thing. They would repeat word for word. They would, in order to give to prove their legitimacy, they would present a pure nevuah. Only thing was, it wasn't said to them. It was said to the Umayis Ha'olam.
No, and then they would, that was the introduction. And then they would
go on and say nonsense. Then they would go on and make up things. The Al-Ela Omar, concerning this group, these Ganovim, these plagiarizers, here is what it says in the first verse, Pasuk Lamed, Miganve Devarai Ish Me'esrei. You are Ganovim, you are thieves. You steal my words, one from his friend. This really a pasuk. A person is a pasuk in the Torah. A person that gives up a prophecy. Masheloi nemar loi. Ha lechaveroi nemar. For example, the classic example is Hananya ben Ezor. To koy Yirmiyah b'shuk elyon. He spoke in the shuk elyon in the upper market to others. Amar koy Amar Hashem tzevokah esini shomeres akeshes elam reishes givu rasam, the first of their strength. Nasa Hananya, here he explains a little bit more. Nasa Hananya be kal v'chamer b'yatzma. Uma elam shloi bo elo le'ezor es kastin. If elam is a minor state who only came to give assistance to the kastin, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu hirni shloi keshes elam, Hashem says they're going to be destroyed. So the kastin atzman, so certainly if the subordinates are going to be destroyed, so certainly the ikar, because the subordinate is only going to be there as long as the primary power is present. So kastim atzma mal achas kam avakam, but that was not true. Also, so what did he do? Also, he went Hananya ben Ezer. He stood also l'shuka tachton. He went to a different location, to a different audience. People cannot figure out that he was a phony, that he was a plagiarizer. V'yamarani said, Koyamar Hashem tzevokah es elokei Yisrael leimar, shavarti es ol melech bavel, v'hikshu al zeh v'amru, and they asked, each one asked, ha'ay l'chaver lo neymar, kevon, they said to each other, hikshu al zeh v'yamar, ha'ay l'chaver lo, I'm not sure what this means, Kevon the Isyahiv Kal Vachomer command the Itmar Le Dami. Even though it was not actually said, he made a Kal Vachomer. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but the basic idea here is that this is the first category of false prophets, people who are plagiarizing. Okay, let's go further. V'achelik Hasheni, The second category, people that have a smooth tongue. They say words. We had that passage before. The second category of people who are total liars, people that just make up, they fabricate things that don't exist, and they use their talent, they use their smooth language in order to promote lies. And the third category is the dreams that we've been discussing before. The people who have ordinary dreams and they get carried away. Their dreams are prophecy. They give it over to the people in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bottom line over here is three different categories of Nevi'ei HaSheker. Pasuk Lamed presented the first category. Now let's do the next two psukim inside. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hinni al Nevi'im Num Hashem. Now we go to category number two. Category number two is al Nevi'im Num Hashem Halaychim L'Shonam, who use their tongues. In other words, they use their oratory skills. Vayin Amun Ne'um. And they say words. They express themselves. And they fool the people into convincing them to believe in their lies. Pasuk Lamed Beis, category number three. Hinni al nibei chaloymai sheker num Hashem. I will punish people who exaggerate the value of their dreams. Vayisaprum, they relate them. Vayasu, they mislead es ani b'shikrehem, through their lies. Uvifachazusam, and through, now that's a very hard word to translate. It means here they translate the actual flippancy. But in the Mitzudos David, they give it over here, flippant, someone who's flippant. In Kalasadas, bewilderment. Okay, that's very different. That's a very different translation than being flippant. Uvechazuzasam, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Uvechazuzasam means in Kalasadas, light headedness. That's a bit flippant. Vechain, and thinking, speaking without thinking. Vechain anoshim reikim ufoichazim. Empty, light-headed people. Yidoy. What? Gidoy. Okay, Gidoy. Anochi, the pasuk goes for Anochi lo shilachtim. Hashem says concerning this third group, they think that their dreams are significant. It's a lie. I never sent them. V'loitzivi sim, I did not command them. V'choyel lo yoilu lo am hazenum Hashem, and they will bring. They are of no benefit. The words of these people, their words are of no benefit for my people. Okay, so let's see again these two sukkim in the Mepharshim, the Sukkim, the Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Hinnani, Uchamo, just like Shehinnani, Muchan Lahavi Puranis, Alhanavim, Hamalamdim, Lashonim, Lamahaludav, Ritzachis, category number two, people who just speak words of lies. Vayin Amu Nu'um, two words which mean to speak. Nu'um Hashem, we had this before. We have the verb, we have the noun form, and the verb form. Vayin amun ne'um, Ritzon Lomar, Shebodim Shikrehem Milibam. They fabricate lies from their heart. Vayam tiku amorehem, and they make their words sweet. Vayidabrum b'makam nevuah nevuah, uveloshna nevi'im, ki ilu hoyedvar Hashem. They speak in the place of nevuah, they make believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to them, it's a total lie. Pasuk Lamebez in the Mitzudos, Hinni al Nevi'ah Chaloymas, Ritzon Lomar, people who give over false dreams, they claim that their ordinary dream is like a prophecy. They're liars. They're not fooled. They're not making a mistake. These people know good and well what they are doing. They're doing it deliberately. They continuously say these words. Kilu hoye davar mamish. It's not like that's not one occasional. It's continuous. Vayasu, they mislead. Vehema matim es ami v'chalim hadimyoni shu davar sheker. Upachazusam bekalus tatam yiftu es am. They mislead the people lehamim v'chalim oisehem hadimyoni, that they should believe in their ordinary dreams. V'anachi amar kim misraim al haniftim lohem. Hashem is complaining to the listeners. Why were you so foolish to listen to these liars? The Omar, Haloi, Anoichi, Hashem says, I may oilam loy shilachtim, I never send them alot sinisi or some shum sava, or may oilam loy ilu lohem, they have never been good to you, it has never been of benefit lo amazeh, v'shum gavim yim kain, ein biyadam lo seiz shum oisum, ein biyim kain, ein biyadam lo seiz shum oisum oifes, v'gam atoiv ein imohem, they have no power to show you signs, and they have not done any good with you. Therefore, the end of the pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains to Klal Yisrael, why were you fooled by these charlatans? You have no one to blame but yourself for being taken advantage of. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Lamed Aleph, Halekhim L'Shaynam, Hamelandim L'Shaynam Lomar Shikrehem L'Shem Nu'um Hashem K'Nevi'ei Ho'emes. L'man Yaminu, they lie. They basically lie. They make believe that they are in the MS. Uvipach zusam loshon timhoin. That's where you got it from, Rav Michal. Yeah. In the translation of the Judaica Press, they are taking Rashi. Yeah. Rashi is saying a different interpretation of pach zusam timhoin. They speak in it with bewilderment.
Yeah.
Okay. Ma. Okay. Let's see.
By the way, the word pach, like in pachas kamayim.
Unstable. Pachas means
impulsive.
Yes, okay. Impulsive. Impulsive. Okay, let's see the very short radak. Hinni halaytim l'shaynam hamachlikim l'shaynam. Category number two: people have smooth tongues. V'chein hitasu b'roiv likha. They misled you with the abundance of their taking, which also there means b'chelik sifoseha, with the smoothness of their lips. Tadichenu, they misguide you. The chelik sifosecha tadichenu, same idea. The mesik. I have a different possibility. Okay, I'll mark it off over here. Hinni al next pasuk. Hinni al nivei mibinyan nifal. Those that give him a prophecy uvach uve pachazusam uve kaloisam. The radak is translating the words like the Mitzudos, Klamar, Bekalus, Taitam, Hanashim, Reikim, Upechazim. Okay, before we close, I want to point out that it's interesting, Rabbi says here three times Hinani. When else do we have three times Hinani? Three times Hinani. The Yamim Noiroyim. Three times does the Shliach Tzibar in the season of the Yamim Noiroyim get up and say the word Hinani. 2 days Rosh Hashanah and 1 day Yom Kippur. Is there a connection between these two? I highly doubt it. But if you want to make a good drasha, you can say that the three hininis are coming to correspond, coming to negate the three hininis. No, there is the avoida of the first day Rosh Hashanah is not the same avoida of the second day Rosh Hashanah. In fact, there are different. We don't do this. We don't even differentiate different negunim. In the nusach, a different tone, different tones, because the avod of the second day is called dina rafia. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is dina koshia. The second day is dina rafia. I have no idea what a harsh din, a soft din. The first day is called Rachel. The second day is Leah. Study chumash. What's the difference between Rachel and Leah? It's like tikkun chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos is Tikkun Rachel and is Tikkun Leah. And then there are days when you only say one and you don't say the other. These are very mystical things. We on this generation, we're not sensitive to these ideas. But the avoid of the first day Rosh Hashanah is not the same avoid as the second day Rosh Hashanah. And certainly Yom HaKippur is an entirely different avoida. When the Shatz gets up on Musaf, which is the Tzvila of Din, and he says, Hinani, that Hinani is not the same Hinani of Rosh Hashanah, that's the Hagdama, the first day Rosh Hashanah, and the second day Rosh Hashanah, and Yom HaKippurim. Haloi Dovar, we have just learned the fascinating Radak that is presented, and when it comes to leader, Shliach Tzibur represents the leader of the Tzibur, he's the representative, and he's presented over here, there are three different types of false leaders. The leader, that is a Ganuf, the leader, that is a total liar, and the leader that exaggerates his own koichos,
he claims his dreams are really words of prophecy.
How can we expect it to know which is?
What?
Well,
in this pasuk, that's exactly what the Mitzudah said. The Mitzudah says that you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. You do, and it comes a point in time, everyone knows in a relationship, you know who you're dealing with. That's a reality of life. You can't fool everyone the entire time. But it's an interesting idea. There are three hininis. And we cannot deny the fact that the word hinini in the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim and the Yom Neron is a very significant thing. Maybe one day you'll come and tell me a nice drasha, the connection between these. We're coming to negate, and the Shliach is coming to acknowledge that we're the real deal, we're not like these three. Okay, we'll stop here.